Welcome to the Versus History Podcast with your hosts, Patrick O'Shaughnessy, Connell Smith, and Elliot Watson.
Good morning and welcome to the Versus History Podcast. I am Elliot L. Watson, and with me as always is Patrick O'Shaughnessy. Patrick, how are you on this actually very clear, very cool Bahrain morning?
I'm very well, my dear sir. I'm going to start introducing myself as Patrick W. O'Shaughnessy.
What does the W stand for?
William, but William. I like to pronounce it Wiley, so I had a little bit of French chic, but... yeah, I don't know. I don't think my name actually needs to be any longer, so maybe not. I immediately rescind that idea, as I do with most of them. I hope you're well, Elliot.
I'm very good, thank you. Very good, very good. It is very early. It is, what time have we got? I say very early. It's 6:30 a.m. And today we're talking about something that I think I should have known about, but I did
think,
not
know. Yeah, I think given your origin, you should have known about it and been interested in it.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to conflate Teesside with Tyneside, which is where I'm from, Tyneside. I'm from Newcastle. But today we're talking about something that was created in Teesside in 2021. And I'd not heard of this initiative, but apparently it is controversial. And there are historical precedents for this thing that was created.
Yeah, absolutely. I hadn't heard of it either, Elliot. The only reason I heard of it is because I listened to a podcast on the way to school that I guess many folk will listen to, perhaps a few more than listen to this one, called The Rest is Politics by Rory Stewart and Alistair Campbell. And they were talking about it, but hitherto, so basically, I've only known about it for 30 days.
And what it is this. It is the Freeport at Teesside. Now, Teesside is in the northeast of England. It counts among other cities, Sunderland, and Hartlepool. Is that right? Am I right with that?
I think so. I hope maybe. So. If you've said it and I've agreed, yes.
I should know because I'm from that area, from Newcastle anyway. So it's a free port that was created by the Conservative government.
Yeah.
It was announced March 2021, and essentially it's 4,500 acres of a free port. Now, Pat, can you tell us what a free port is?
Crikey, where do you want to go, history or this one?
I tell you what, let's go with this one, and then we'll try and make some links around it.
It's designed on the historical entrepot model, although not done particularly well. It's a sort of reservation of land whereby different tariff, trading, employment law agreements exist that are not concomitant with the rest of the United Kingdom. So it's like a special administrative zone where different trade laws apply and different planning and regulation laws apply. The idea being it will stimulate trade and development.
Now, some people may have seen the term Freeport in a movie that came out about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, called Tenet, where Christopher Nolan smashes a giant Boeing 747 into a freeport.
Ouch.
And that's the first time I'd heard of something called a free port. Obviously, historically, I understood what an entrepot was, Singapore, etc., which we'll talk about a little bit earlier. So this free port at Teesside, 4,500 acres of land that has essentially been sequestered by the government to provide an area that does not function with the same customs, tax duties as other parts of the country. A little bit like duty-free used to be.
Ooh, exciting.
in airports. And the idea of the one specifically at Teesside is that the strategic location at Teesside, it's a hub for regional and international trade. Newcastle and Leeds are next to it. It's on the northeast coast of England, so you have the sea networks that you could use. The goal of it really was to provide some kind of economic incentives, customs benefits, and to get rid of red tape in the regulatory process. I guess the question has to be asked, why can't they do that for the rest of the country? It's designed to generate and attract businesses and industries to make import and export simpler and to somehow diversify the range of industries in Teesside, including things like manufacturing, logistics, energy and technology. But also one of the central, the core tenets of this Freeport and Teesside was sustainable development.
Buzzword.
Yeah, precisely. One example of this that has occurred or has been generated in this Freeport is a wind turbine factory, an offshore wind turbine factory with a $400 million investment. So that's kind of the overview of what's going on at Teesside.
Yeah, absolutely. It's born out of the ashes of Brexit, really. Yeah. Once Britain left the European Union, customs union, it was apparent to all left and right that new avenues for trading would need to be found. And we remember Boris. I mean, he said a lot of things, Boris, didn't he?
He said a lot of things.
You're excused. He said a lot of things, but one of his other buzzwords was Singapore on Thames and the idea of having these deregulated trading zones to stimulate growth in Britain. And in 2021, that took place in Teesside. There's also another one down in the southwest in Dartmoor. Don't know much about that one.
In Dartmoor?
Yeah, I know. Just a big national park. I don't know what you do, but I think in some ways you've already captured the essence of it, Elliot. If this is the route forward, and Rishi Sunak found out how difficult planning, building and getting through red tape is with HS2, which they had to scrap half of, why can't they do this for the rest of the country? If this is the tonic, if this is the solution for said ailment, why localise the treatment? It doesn't make much sense. And I think the fact that nobody's really heard of it, outside maybe of Teesside,
speaks volumes. Yeah, I think it does. Either that it is failing to live up to said goals, or that it is controversial enough that it's been relegated in terms of media, etc. Now, there are obviously, this being versus history, there are historical roots to these kinds of free ports.
Absolutely.
One of the earliest, at least within the British Empire, was created in Singapore by Sir Stamford Raffles and others in 1817, am I right with 18?
Add two, I think it was
1819. Which was a projection of British imperial interest into otherwise Dutch East India Company's territory. And it was essentially designed to be able to project British influence, trade influence, into that region by establishing a free port in Singapore with the objective of spreading influence and injecting a British influence into it, into China.
Absolutely. I think that was born out of British strength, wasn't it? That was born out of the conclusion of Trafalgar 1805, when British naval hegemony was established, and then Waterloo, where they'd really vanquished the only army, not there was much of an army by 1815 at Waterloo, that opposed them. So 4 years later, it was the Pax Britannica. They basically ruled the world, and underlying that was British industrial might as they made the transition to free trade and a burgeoning industrial revolution.
Correct.
So Singapore is very much built out of and built upon the foundations of British strength. The contradiction with Tyneside, or Teesside rather.
Teesside,
sorry. Apologies,
easy.
To all my friends in the northeast. Your accents don't all sound the same. It's really born out of the complete opposite, really. And I think even the Conservatives would agree with that if you read the controversial book Britannia Unchained. It was 2009, 2010, number of Preeti Patel and his trust contributed to it. The zeitgeist of that book was essentially how uncompetitive Britain is, how it doesn't make anything, and dare I say it, how lazy and entitled British workers are. These are not my words.
No,
I'm paraphrasing.
Not our words. No.
But that was essentially the raison d'etre of that book. And if you think about the ersatz entrepot in the northeast, I don't know what Britain would be exporting out of that, and I don't know who they'd be exporting to, because I don't really know what ultimately Britain makes in huge quantities anymore. The entrepots in East Asia, Singapore, this was great because you could get stuff out of them, raw materials, very cheaply and quickly, because of the the horrors of empire you could exploit, but then you could also use it as a market to sell back to,
yep.
using the huge Royal Navy that was unchallenged until like the 1870s, 1880s, as the tool to protect trade and then also your merchant marine to undertake it. I don't see any correlations with Singapore and then later on with Hong Kong and Shanghai with the Northeast. But maybe you'll educate me, Elliot. Maybe I'm blinkered.
Well, I think you're probably right. If you go back about 40 years, there was an investment in the Northeast. Now, whilst it wasn't in a Freeport area, it was there was an investment by Nissan. That was an attractive proposition for Nissan because they were given substantial tax incentives and so on. And that, of course, helped to regenerate parts of the Northeast. It was one of the biggest employers after the civil service. But again, I don't know how successful this free port in Teesside has been, because one would imagine if it had been successful in the same way that perhaps the Nissan injection of investment was, we would have heard a little bit more about
it. You'd have thought Rishi Sunak hasn't got a lot to talk about vis-a-vis success. I mean, inflation's coming down a bit, they're still going up.
Yeah.
If it were in any way successful or resembled success, he would have been talking about it a lot.
This would be an electoral issue.
And, yeah, Rory Stewart talks a lot on The Rest Is Politics about, I mean, he's quite critical of the government. Number one, the tendering process for private companies setting up there, it doesn't resemble competition.
There is a serious transparency and accountability issue with that free port. Concerns about favouritism, corruption, cronyism.
Absolutely.
And when there is that lack of transparency, because when things are supposed to move so quickly in an area that is designed specifically to allow bureaucracy to move quickly, it does muddy the waters in terms of fair business practice, I would say.
Absolutely. Local oligarchs are going to win. I mean, with things like this, those who are already empowered and with a bit of cash tend to get a bit more, and it doesn't seem to be equitably distributed. That's probably a critique of capitalism generally.
Possibly.
Another critique that former MP Mr. Stewart makes on his very popular podcast is that when the government deals with these big companies like Nissan from the private sector, number one, they're coming from a position of weakness because, you know, in any sort of trade or negotiation, they who need it least have the huge benefit. And that tends to be the government. And his overriding critique is the government are just really bad at dealing with the private sector and just get ripped off.
Yeah.
So these companies come in, they get huge concessions. And then when that dries up or they don't want to be there anymore or a better avenue or prospect comes along, they sort of retreat, aka Nissan.
Well, it's a model that we see around the world. Businesses will move to where generally the profit is maximised, so cheap labour, tax incentives, etc. Speaking of tax, one of the major criticisms is the loss of tax revenue by the government, which, because it is by its nature a reduced tax haven, this freeport, this loss in taxes undermines public services, infrastructural investment, particularly in those areas that are adjacent to the freeport. And one of the other major criticisms is that when you get businesses that are adjacent, traditionally, or not traditionally, had occupied those areas next to the now Freeport, those businesses and industries have maybe moved into the Freeport area, disadvantaging and leaving economic vacuums in the areas adjacent. I mean, that's a serious criticism.
Yeah, absolutely. Britain has a problem with growth. I think that's a widely accepted issue. And the companies that are there, if they see this sort of administrative grey zone where there's a potential for less tax, of course they're going to want to step into that.
Sure.
Absolutely. China does it with its special administrative zones, right? Mm-hmm. It's clear. If you have a grey zone and it's good, people are going to want to get in it. That's just life.
That's right. Water will flow into those areas.
Poetic.
Other criticisms, perhaps, because of the lack of transparency, there is bound to be a drop in the rules and regulations that govern labour standards. So the working hours, wages, health and safety, all of these things are at risk of decline when there's no real proper oversight. And one of the major criticisms, specifically of the Freeport in Teesside, is obviously it's on the River Tees.
Which I've never been to, but it sounds very tropical.
I used to go fishing on the River Tees back in the day. There's a lot of pollution and habitat destruction there.
In terms of reducing workers' rights, Britain has some of the, worst terms and conditions for workers. In terms of zero-hour contracts,
yes.
Very little worker security. So within that context, I would say the last thing Great Britain PLC needs is a further erosion of workers' rights. So, yes, I'd say that in terms of the historical contrast, when Britain took Singapore in 1819, Hong Kong and Shanghai in 1842, Britain had it all. It had built its wealth off slavery, built up the invisible hand of financial institutions, brokers, underwriters, insurers, slavery, and then that transferred into the Industrial Revolution. So by the time it takes Singapore in 1819, it's really unchallenged in every single way possible.
Yeah.
It's exporting lots and lots of stuff. It can get very cheap resources from its colonial networks around the world. It has the financial engineering machinery, all sort of grubby under the bonnet stuff, the City of London. And it's unchallenged in terms of its merchant marine and Royal Navy, which have a symbiotic relationship.
Very far removed from what is happening on Teesside, apparently.
You could say the Royal Navy today is sort of a relative outpost of Britain's strength, but vis-a-vis everything else, it is, but everything else has declined significantly.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the government had to do something when it left the European Union, because initially it billed on a ticket of they're going to make lots of trade agreements with America, Australia, mm-hmm. Canada, and I don't hear those talked about either.
No, those haven't really materialised.
So, yeah, the historical parallels are there, but they're really somewhat meaningless.
Yeah, if anybody lives near this Freeport zone, any of our listeners around Teesside, and you have any direct experience, positive or negative, do get in touch so that we could mention it on our next podcast, a bit of feedback to give us some primary insights into the Freeport. But that's, I think, us for this morning.
That's us. If you are anywhere over the spring Easter holiday, feel free to send your Versus History on Tour video. So if you visit anywhere, make a little video of it. Tell us about it in 30 to 60 seconds and we'll share it on our social media. If you have any children who are in year 11 or to year 13, that would be like ages, 15 to 18?
Yeah.
Our 2024 iteration of the Versus, let me say that again. Our 2024 iteration of the Versus History Essay Prize is coming out in May. Not sure exactly when, but May it will be. Touch wood. Keep your eyes on that. Lots of exciting questions bubbling up. Do you want to give them a hint? Any ones you're planning? Any themes you're going to touch on, Elliot? I'm touching on Rishi Sunak. There's going to be a good few questions on 2024 democracy, elections, and Mr. Sunak.
That's it. There's going to have to be some questions on the American election.
Oh, I think I'll leave those to you. I think that'll be Elliot's purview. And is anything else? Yeah, just subscribe if you're not already subscribed and leave us a rating. It helps minnow podcasts like ours try to compete almost full-heartedly with the big hitters. But, please be charitable.
Charity. We like charity.
Yeah, we're rubbish and we need help. So, excellent.
Okay. You have a good morning wherever you're listening to this. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from him. Bye from me. Bye from us. And bye from Connell in exile.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Versus History Podcast. Visit us at www.versushistory.com and follow us at Versus History on Twitter and Instagram. You can download all episodes from iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or from wherever you get your podcasts.